Amén. Shabbat shalom. All right. So, it's kind of good to be back. That's good. To say that we missed you all would be a partial truth. No, we did. We missed y'all. But it was nice, you know, just Casey and I being away for a week and a half and spent a little time in Ireland for half of my bloodline. The fatherland. But got all kinds of stories. It was fun, but we won't spend too much time there. Our anniversary, our 30th anniversary is actually this Thursday coming up, but it was the only time I could get off for work. And people ask you questions like, well, you know, it's like a shock, where back in the day it was not such a shock to have, you know, a 30th anniversary. Just people are just surprised by that. And you go, when people ask the question, so, you know, like, what's the secret or whatever? It's really deep here. You ready? If your spouse doesn't like it, don't do it. If they like it, do it. It's just that simple. It really is. So anyhow, we're glad to be back. Okay. So I was praying about this week. So I took my iPad while we were on the road and we were on our little tour bus going around the island. And I was working on the prophecy stuff because we're going to wrap that dude up. I thought we was going to begin that today. As I was talking to Billy about it, he was laughing, saying that, what do you mean you're going to wrap it up? I was like, well, and I said, it's probably going to take about 3 or 4 sermons to wrap it up. He goes, you 3 or 4 sermons to wrap it up? I was like, yeah. I said, the last 10 I did over the year, last year was just the foundation. And now we've got to bring it all together. So, but as I said, I was praying about, well, was that what I was supposed to be doing this week? And the Lord shifted it. And what came to my mind, my spirit, was to talk about dry places. And I don't know why. I can only speculate that either one, somebody in here right now is going through a dry place and they don't know how to articulate that. I used the wilderness experience to somebody that I was talking to at work this past week about it. About to go through one, or we're about to go through one. So I'm not sure which it is. All I know is I just felt very strongly to talk about it. What really got me thinking is right after that word just dropped in my spirit was where we were at in the cycle of the feasts. So we just finished Shavuot last week. Well, that kind of traditionally views as if we're going into these summer months or the dry season, this dry period, because now we've got this about 120-day period that we're waiting for the fall feast, for Yom Kippur. And that section was broken down basically into 3 40s. When you do the count from the end of Shavuot, you've got the 40 days in which Moses went up onto the mountain. Then he comes down, sees everybody being stupid with the golden calf. He goes back up for another 40 days and intercedes. And then you have the 40 days that leads into Yom Kippur. And so that section is broken up into about 3 40s and 3 different seasons. And they all kind of have something to do with what we're going to talk about, dry places. So when I talk about dry places, some people may not understand what that means. As I said, some people may go, well, I'm in a wilderness experience. We're going to change that. If you use that terminology, I'm going to change your view on a wilderness experience when we get to the end of it. Okay, so what is a dry place? It's a season where you feel you don't feel as connected with God. It's not necessarily backsliding. It's just going, I just feel dry. I just don't feel the overwhelming flow of the Spirit of God. I just feel dry. It could be the result of sin, but that usually kind of works into the area of backsliding. It's usually in the lethargic, laissez-faire mentality, meaning you started to take your faith for granted, and maybe you don't pray as much, maybe you don't study as much, maybe you don't do whatever ministries as much. And then as you are not doing those things as much and not spending that time with God, all of a sudden, He's just going, You know, you keep walking and doing whatever it is that you're doing, but he ain't moved. And that's usually what causes most of our dry seasons, is because we've moved outside of where God wants us to be. Other things that cause them is the enemy is interfering with you. And so when the enemy is either attacking or just trying to, you know, I guess attacking is the best word, but trying to disrupt your relationship with God, and you allow that to interfere between you and God and that face-to-face relationship, then that also causes this period where you don't necessarily fear God. And then the other one is where God just goes, and people don't talk about that one too much, where God just goes, I'm going to let you be on your own for a little bit, not because you didn't do anything wrong, but I just need to be quiet because he wants to see how we're going to respond in that dry season. So we're going to talk about that. Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. So that in of itself tells us that there is a time and a season. And we've all been through it. You can all recount it. Sometimes it's a specific period of time where you just feel the power of God. And man, he's just all over you. You're constantly reading, constantly praying, constantly witnessing. And man, you just wake up, good morning, Lord. You go to bed, good night, Lord. And it's just a perfect relationship walking with God. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't seem to be as round as much. So that tells us sometimes he's not so close. So as I said, this breakdown of this wilderness experience, these three 40s, one of the 40s was ordained by God. That was when Moses went up to the mountain after the mountain experience of Shavuot. The second one was the result of sin, and then the third 40 was on the way back. And we'll talk about those. So as I said, most of them cause is you. It really is. Most of them are your fault, our fault. They really are. Often gradually. So this past week, man, I did not want to go back to work. And then to make it worse, I had to go out on the flight line. And we went out and we put power on the airplane. As soon as we put power on the airplane, it was 117 degrees on the flight deck. So there's something about putting a bunch of aluminum on a 50 football field piece of concrete and then having the sun beat down it on the middle of the day. It makes it really hot inside about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I was the part of the training I was doing with the student was this very initial part where we really lay a big foundation. And we got out to the airplane, and I took a jug of water, and I always carry a little bottle of water. And I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but I talked for about 3.5 hours, nonstop. And after we got done doing all the training and everything, I didn't realize, because I was so focused on trying to get everything done in that allotted window that we have on that training device. And all of a sudden, about the next 5 hours, the rest of the evening, I don't think I could drink enough water. And I just was funny. I was like, you know, Lord, I really don't need real life stories to share to make the point across. Because it was like last Sunday is when I felt like the Lord said to drop this in my spirit. But the point was, you just get busy with things and then you forget to hydrate. You just forget, or in this case, it's really spending that time with God to connect, because the world will zap it out of you. It just will. And so if we don't get in a rhythm of things, and that's why when we start talking about the things of the Lord and the feast and the cycle of the feast and all of that, the new moon, it's unfortunate that the church has taken the mentality that those things are ritualistic and not see them for what they are, and that is the rhythm of life that God gave us to stay connected so we don't end up in those periods. Otherwise, because if you're not really connected and all of a sudden you have this season. Because the truth of the matter is, the children of Israel really weren't fully on board just yet. Because if it took Moses just to be gone for 40 days for them to go, hey, we need a calf, and we just need to go ahead and go back to the debauchery we were doing in Egypt, I mean, you're really not fully on board yet. So hopefully, but again, it's true. When we say to people, don't miss church. Church is not what's going to get you saved, but when you're connected where the Spirit of God is being poured out in prayer and in worship and in the Word, and then all of a sudden the Word's going to come out because somebody gets up and reads the Scripture, gives a Word, or you hear something in the message, and then, hey, it puts you back, oh man, you're right, I'm out of my rhythm, I haven't been praying as much. It keeps us going together. It keeps us from having those little backsliding moments. You know, another place... I used to do a lot of trips to the desert Southwest. I actually like that place. It's very pretty out there, Arizona, New Mexico, and all that. But it ain't like Arkansas. Here, when you go outside, it's like in the middle of summer. Somebody took a towel, soaked it in water, microwaved it, and then slapped you in the face with it, and you know you're going to spend the rest of the day, the rest of the summer, sweating. Out there, it evaporates. You get dehydrated, and you don't even know that you're dehydrated. That's how fast it happens. Because that dry heat, there's no moisture out there, you start sweating, and it just pulls it off your body. All right, so let's talk about Israel being in the wilderness. So in a few weeks, we're going to read where it talks about the spies going into the land. That was the last straw. That was the last straw for God, for them to complain about all that he had done. And he says, I've had enough. And then it says that he then sent them out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And then you can follow that by the way of the Red Sea and actually find where the wilderness is at. But they made a decision. The decision was, we don't think God's going to do what he called us out here to do. And so we all know the story that 12 of them went and 10 of them came back saying, there's no way we can do this, and two said they could. And then those 10 infected the rest of the body where they go, oh, we should have just stayed in Egypt, and God sent them by the wilderness. And one of the things I dislike, along with the phrase, no man knows the day or the hour, this is right next to that one. And that is, well, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reasons were stupid and we make bad decisions. And in this case, they made some bad decisions and God sent them out in the wilderness. And so we look at these dry seasons or backslidings, and though God was always faithful and used them to bring us back, it was never his intent. Because the Bible says that this was an 11-day journey that they turned into 40 years. So we can sit there and go, well, oh, look at what we learned out of it. Well, does that mean we should just go out and get all liquored up and steal things and go, well, I learned some lessons from the Lord while I was sinning. Everything works out for those who call and trust in the Lord. And yeah, no, no, no. The idea is that you stay connected and stay close to him and don't get into those seasons. Yes, he'll use them only because he's faithful. That's not his primary plan. I remember Dr. Mosley used to make this phrase where he would say, don't get too wrapped up here. He would say, Jesus was plan B. Plan A was for you to not sin. That was plan A. It was for him, for you to do everything he told you to do. But he knew you weren't going to do it, so then he came up with plan B and said, if we're going to make this happen, because he knew. Now some people go, well, he says he was slain from the foundation of the world. Yes, we can talk about the theological aspects of that at another time. But the point, the other thing that people do is they'll say, well, God gave us the commandments because he knew he wouldn't keep them. Well, how rude is that? I'm going to tell you not to steal, but I know you can't steal. You can't help yourself but steal. So I'm going to make a way for you just because I give you this thing that I know you can't do. It's illogical, okay? Sorry, I'm getting on a little sidebar there. So again, sometimes these things, and we get out in these decisions, and they lead us in a path. But here's the thing. When you make those decisions, and they lead you on that 40-year journey, don't let those things define you. So after we read in a few weeks about them going into the place of promise, you've probably heard me say this a few times. First, have you heard the phrase that Israel did X, Y, or Z, and then God said, we'll take another lap around the mountain? And we read that, we say, well, God said, Israel kept missing it. God said, take another lap. But do you know how much of the five books of Moses make up the wilderness experience? Do you know that in the reading cycle that we're in now, that we're just now into the beginning of the second year? That's it. So everything that we've read from Exodus and then through Leviticus and into Numbers, it says in Numbers 10, I think it is, that it's in the second month of the second year. That's it. But then they go into the wilderness in, I think it's verse 15. And then they come out of the wilderness in verse 20. Because it says Miriam and Aaron die in verse 20. Well, if you go read in Numbers 33, it tells us when they died, and they died in the 40th year. So that means from Numbers 15, actually I think it's like 14, 28, somewhere around there, until about Numbers 20, verse 1, is 38 and a half years. Five chapters define how most people see Israel. There's 187 chapters from Genesis 1 to Deuteronomy 28, 31, whatever, I can't remember what it ends with. 187 chapters. But only five of those chapters are them in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness now. But when I'm talking about the wilderness, it's the place where they go that God doesn't talk about it anymore. And so for 38 and a half years, they're wandering from place to place to place to place. And I believe it's in Numbers 33 where it says they went here, 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 when they went here, and that's it. So what you're not to do is if you do find yourself in a dry season or a backsliding time, you don't let that be the thing that defines you. You learn from it, you grow from it, you repent from it, but you don't let it be, well, if I wouldn't have done X, or if I would have done Y, then I would have been here. Except the fact that God planned for our ignorance, Yeshua was a plan for our ignorance, then He's going to get you eventually on that path. Again, don't use that as the pretext. Well, I know He'll take care of it, so I'll just go be silly. No, I think there's stronger consequences for that. And I believe that works out to be something like 2.8% of the time of Israel, the recordings from Genesis to the end of Deuteronomy. That's just 2.8% of their time. But yet we now say of Israel, well, you know, they went around the mountain again. But what about all the other times they were victorious? What about all the other times that God did something on our behalf? So learn from it, but then move on from it, and don't let that thing be the things that define you. So one, you just do it on your own. Okay, the other reason for dry seasons is God takes you there. The Bible says that Yeshua was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Knowing that the devil was going to come there and ask Him three questions, knowing that He was going to fast for 40 days and be tempted and tested. So sometimes when you're out there and you're not feeling the Spirit of God and you're going, wait a minute, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm studying, I'm fellowshipping, what's going on? He's stepping back. He's going to see how you respond. What are you going to do when He's not answering your prayers? What are you going to do when you're praying and you don't feel His presence? He's going to see how you're responding. You know, when we give two types of tests out at the base. One is an open book test, the other one's a closed book test. Many times we have an open book test where we can go straight to the answer, straight in prayer, whatever. Other times we need to know if you've been studying. And we go, no books, you don't get to use your buddy, you don't get to use nothing, don't get your phone out, here's a test. If you don't know it, we'll find out. Well, there's a couple things that God's going to do in those times where He's stepping back. He's going to, one, prove to you who He is. Because if He called you to do something, then He's going to be faithful for what He said He was going to do for you. Either a promise through His Word or a promise that He gave to your spirit. He will do that. So one, He's going to show you who He is. Two, He's going to show you who you are by being quiet. Because when the children of Israel had a moment of quiet, they built a calf. And when He shows you who you are, He's going to show you one of two things. He's going to find out what you did when He wasn't there, when He wasn't guiding you, when He wasn't giving you answers, and nobody was giving you a word, to show you that you were capable of doing it all along. Too many times we try to rely on other people, or that God's trying to show you that, hey, you have more of the ability than you think you have. And so when He makes you go out on your own, and you don't have those answers, and you don't have that feeling, He's going to show you that you were able to do more than you thought you were able to do. Other times, He's going to show you who you really are. And that's the one we don't like. That's when he says, hey, you know, when I left you alone for a while and you built a calf and you acted a fool, that's why I didn't give you this position. That's why I didn't give you the money. That's why I didn't bless you, because deep down you're actually rotten and I needed to show you that. Now we take that and go, well, that's harsh. No, it's God showing you who you are so you can change. That's the one thing that people miss about military training. They sit there all this time and just yelling at you all throughout basic training in the beginning. You're just a low-down scoundrel. You stink. You're a moron. You're an idiot, because they want to get you to the place where you feel like an idiot. So you have to learn to trust on everybody else, and then are you going to dig down within yourself and go, no, I can do this. I don't care what you make me feel like. And when they put you in those positions and they push you to failure, it's to show you where your fail point is and go, hey, here's your failure. Now we're going to show you how to get better at it. Now we're going to show you how to be smarter about it. And when God does those things, it's not because he's abusive. He's showing you when he steps back, this was your weak spot. Now let's fix it and move on. And then you'll move on. So don't be afraid of any of the dry places, whether it's by you or whether it's been ordained by him. And we'll get to what to do with them here in a minute. And the last one is the enemy's interfering. The Bible says that Satan influenced David to number Israel. The prince of Persia was hindered Gabriel when Daniel made the prayer. Daniel prayed and it took 21 days for the angel to get there. And he says, I was hindered by the prince of Persia. And Paul wrote at one point, forget which place he was talking to, he said that we desired to be there, but Satan hindered us. So you will run into times that you are just fighting and you got to have on the whole armor and it's just going to feel like God's not with you. And it's because that's part of all the test. One, the enemy is getting in there and he's trying to interfere and get in the way of your relationship with God. And while you're in the midst of that battle, you may feel like he's not there with you. So what do we do? What do we do in the midst of all of this? The answer is actually pretty similar for all three. First, you got to pray, listen, praise, learn, and change or grow, depending on the situation. So when you're praying about why, because eventually when you're in a dry place, you're not going to know you're in a dry place, just like I was trying to talk about it. And then when you realize it, you go, whoa. I guess I haven't been right for the last 6 months, a year, 5 months, whatever it was. Pray and find out why are you in this position. And listen. And if you're praying and God goes, just like he did to Adam, where'd you go? When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, we know the story, he knew where they were at. God didn't move. They moved. And so he's asking them, where are you guys at? And so if you're praying and going, God, I just don't feel you, he's going to go, I didn't move. So if you heard that there's an old joke about an old married couple, and this is back when they used to have the old pickup trucks with the full bench seat, right? The little story goes that the wife says, well, I don't feel like we're that close anymore. When we first were dating, you know, we used to sit side by side in the truck and go on long drives together, and now we're all separated by this long bench. And the husband who's driving says, I'm not the one who moved. She's the one that moved to this far side of the bench. That's the same way with God. So when we first ask, did I move? Did I stop? Did I not do what I knew to do? Did I not pray? Did I not study? Whatever the case is. But then also ask, do I deserve to be here? Did I do this to myself? And when he says, yes, then you go, okay, I got it. And this is why I say that now the response is then the same. So if you are in this place by him ordaining it, then you praise him because that means he put you in a position because he's about to bless you. He's trying to teach you something. If you did it, you either way you praise because you then realize that God was merciful enough to bring you back out of the dry place and then bring it to your attention, and now he's showing you mercy. And then what did you learn out of it? You have to learn something out of it. Or you really, to use the analogy, you'll go around the mountain again. If there's anything that God wants to do in your life and you are not allowing him to make the change in your life that makes it possible to you for you to receive the blessing, then you're going to keep getting tested in it. It's just going to happen. It's just true. And if you don't learn a lesson, he'll try it another way. And if you can't think of a reason why you deserve to be there, and that God's not trying to teach you something, and you didn't do it, then realize that what's happening here is the enemy is trying to come against. And again, what's the response? Praise. Because praise will push back the attack. The enemy can't stand the sound of praise. So you just got to praise and worship God in the midst of all of it. So once you realize wherever you are and how you got into the dry place, you just need to praise your way through it. All right. And if you're not hearing, I use the analogy of the story of the woman that just said, if I could just go and touch the hem of his garment. I think that if we don't feel him, but yet we're still praising him, if we don't feel him, but we're still studying and we're still doing the things, I think it also shows to him is, hey, I'm not letting go of the hem of your garment. I am not going anywhere. So you may leave me here at the bottom of the mountain, but I'm Joshua right now. I followed Moses up halfway up this hill. I'm not going anywhere. So I don't hear you, and I hear all these other fools out here dancing around and acting like idiots, but I'm not going nowhere. And that tells God and shows God how serious you are. But again, he knew. He's just showing you where you stood. I had an old boss when I was an early flight evaluator, and I had a friend of mine that I was giving a flight evaluation to, and I was a young staff sergeant, and I had to fail him because he did something that was a safety issue on the airplane. And so whenever there's something like that happens, we always go to meet. We try and get some of the other evaluators or high time instructors together and go, hey, this is what happened. This is what the book says. This is how I'm seeing it. Is this clear or whatever? So I went into this room, and it just so happened our chief was down from the group. And when I went in, as soon as I presented it, he said, everybody shut up. And I was just like, and he pointed his finger at me. He goes, you're going to figure this one out on your own. And I'm like, well, that's not very nice. But now being in a position of leadership, I understood what he was trying to do. He knew that where I was at was in a difficult situation, and he wanted to see what the decision I would make, because the answer was clear. I was just looking for some wiggle room. It was clear, and he wanted to see if I was going to maintain my integrity and give this friend of mine a failed evaluation. He's still my friend. You have to spend time. This is why early on, when you first become a believer, you have to spend a lot of time in prayer and in the Word. You have to know the times that when the Lord has gone silent. Because it's going to be after you take a step out on something. And he's going to see how you respond to whatever the responsibility or whatever the blessing or whatever it is that he's given you, asked you to do, revelation that he gave you. I mean, it doesn't have to be like a call to ministry. It could be if he gives you the revelation of tithe. Well, then all of a sudden your car breaks down. He's going to find out, well, Lord, am I supposed to give my tithe or pay this bill? He's not going to say anything because you already got that revelation. He's going to see if you're going to respond to it. And so you got to know that. And I had this moment about 5 or 6 years ago, and this is why I talk about deer hunting a lot and why that season is very important to me. And it's not very important to the deer, though. And I was at this place in this one particular deer stand, and it was really in the midst of this really difficult time. And I'd moved around from a couple different hunting spots. And there was this one spot that we had put a stand up in a few years ago. And that stand was it's not any good until way late into the season when the trees are all gone. You can really see much further. And I knew that, but I got up in there in the middle of November and I couldn't see anything. And I just was sitting there, and I sat there for about 30 or 40 minutes. And I said, this is stupid. Why am I here? I knew this. Why did I come here? I knew this. I wasn't supposed to be here. I shouldn't be in this spot because I knew we weren't going to be in to see anything. And at that thick area where I put that stand, they could be right up on you and you wouldn't even notice it. And then all of a sudden, it turned into something that I hadn't been dealing with. And it turned into, this is not the spot where I need to be hunting, is to, I don't want to be here. And then all of a sudden, my mind changed to the place where I was at because of things that had happened and fallen outs and different stuff. And then it turned into me crying in my stand going, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't like the way this feels, And it didn't have anything to do with deer hunting. And I was like, well, you didn't have to take me out here and show me this. I don't want to be here. I didn't like that season, but obviously I didn't go nowhere. But it was a place where he took to see what I would do in the midst of this place where I didn't want to be. I didn't like what happened. I still don't like what happened. But it took me up until a very recent time to understand why I had to go through that season and why those things happened. And so sometimes you're not going to understand it in the middle of the dry season. It's going to come after the fact. And it will make sense. He's not going to leave you blind. He's not going to tell you why. But he may not tell you at the moment. But if you ask him and you're honest about it, and if it is because of something you did, you got to be honest when he says, this is why. Or there wasn't no reason. I just wanted you to feel without me for a little while. Because I want to see if you really are hungry for me. All kinds of reasons. All right, I'm going to close with this. We are in the book of Numbers. It is the Bamidbar, right? The book of Numbers. Comes the beginning of it, and where it says they went into the wilderness. And this is one of those few times I like to pull out some of that rabbinic stuff. Because I don't always believe it. But when you got a sermon, you know, you got to make a point with it. I'm teasing, kind of. But there's a neat little play on the words here that goes along with being in a dry place. And as I said, sometimes that phrase that's interchangeable is the wilderness experience. I'm having a wilderness experience. And I think it's more of a Pentecostal term where they call it their dry places, but they're saying I'm in a wilderness experience, meaning I'm not feeling God right now because I'm in the wilderness like Israel was in the wilderness. Okay? If you use that, you're misusing it. Because when Israel was in the wilderness, they were completely taken care of. And Bamidbar means in the wilderness, but Midbar is the word for wilderness. The book is in the Midbar is the wilderness. And the root word for wilderness is Devar. It's the Hebrew word for word. And when you have the M in front of a word, it usually means from something. Well, the actual word for wilderness, it has two definitions, like all good Hebrew words. And it means a high plains fit for feeding a flock, or it means a desert place. Either way, God's accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. Either way, they're wilderness experiences, but if you're in the wilderness, God's feeding you. He's taking care of you. And I found it interesting that that play on the word devar, meaning the word, that he will feed you from the word. And so if you're in that place, just like the children of Israel had manna and quail and their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, they thought they were in a desert place where they had forsaken God and God was rejecting them and leading them into this place in the middle of nowhere. But the whole time, he actually had them in the wilderness. And it ended up being the high plains fit for feeding the flock. They were being taken care of, and they were being fed. They did it. It was their decision and their decisions alone that led them into that place. Now, we got to learn from it. But either way, if you find yourself in it, know that God is providing for you, even though you may not feel it at that moment. Right? And I really think, though, what really kind of dropped in my spirit about this is, it may be ministering to one or two of you right now, but I think we're about to enter a season in a really bad way, in a really bad dry spot as a people and as a nation, maybe as a congregation, but I really think that's what, when the Lord just kind of dropped, that was kind of the picture. I was like, well, it may be that somebody's in a dry space and they just needed to hear this, or they're about to go through one, but what really kind of came in when that came in was like, there's about to be a big dry space in this nation, so much so, and I've been paying attention to the weather going, Lord, we got a pretty decent garden going here, and we sure could use some rain in this area. So who knows whether it was literal, metaphorical, but I think that we're seeing some big dry spots in our nation, and I think it's only going to get worse. And I think that was the intent of it, but I also knew that it would minister to somebody. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you, and we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Sabbath, and we thank you for your word, Lord. If we are one of the people that is in a dry spot, then we just pray that you would give us the ability to hang on until the Spirit starts speaking again. And if we've been through those, we just came out of one, then help us to look back at those times and to realize that you have always been faithful to us, whether it is to teach us a lesson or, in our own foolishness, still teaching us a lesson. Either way, you are faithful, and help us to never forget that whenever we find that place that we're saying, I don't hear you or and I don't feel you. And that our cry would be David's cry when he said, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That we would never want to be in that place where we don't, that we feel abandoned by you. But again, help us to always be honest before you and honest with ourselves when in asking you, why am I here? And be willing to receive the answer, and then just lifting up praise to you, knowing that you are just being faithful to us. In our ignorance or in our testing, either way we praise you. Or if the enemy has found us worthy of an attack, then we praise you all the more, because that means we are a hindrance to him. And he feels like he needs to come after us, so we praise you. We just bless you for this. We bless you and thank you so much for your word. I bless you and thank you so much for these people. And we thank you for all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.